Does true love mean never having to say you're sorry? Maybe on some other planet. You're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston. Any honest married people will tell you that if you really try to make it work, there will eventually be conflict. But in order to grow together, the issue is not fighting, it's fighting fair. Here's Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh.
Conflict is guaranteed. You know, you are going to have conflict. It's learning to handle it and to talk and to find space away from the emotions of the conflict that is vital.
Well, I think Stephen's probably got much more experience of fighting fair than I have. Fighting is, nobody wants to fight really, but sadly we do. Fighting fair to me sort of means not dragging up everything that's happened for the last 32 years, because actually that would be a terrible fight. Just dealing with the situation you're in at that time, not bringing the whole of the rest of the world into it, not involving everybody else in it, and at some stage just shutting up your mouth and listening to the other person. Because when we're going at it so hard, we can't hear what anyone else is trying to explain to us.
That was recorded in a live event back in June of 2010. Our own Heather and Stephen joined Life FM's Anna Daly before a live studio audience. Last time we heard the first half of the conversation they had called Marriage, How to Make It Work. Toward the end of the programme, we'll hear some of the questions from the audience. Right now though, we pick up where we left off, talking about building and maintaining intimacy in marriage.
We tend in this shallow society to think of, when we talk about and think about intimacy, to think about sex. And of course, Stephen was not talking about sex all the time, though I wouldn't want to underplay the role of sex in any marriage. And if you listened, if you're fans of the Doctor's Show, you may have heard how good sex is very good for your heart. So that's just a little throw in there, you might want to think about that one. But yes, it's not all about sex. There's a whole lot more going on. And intimacy, really, I think of three C's when I think of intimacy in marriage. I think of communication, consideration, and commitment. Stephen's talked about commitment. I won't go into that. Communication, we don't really know what people are thinking. And it's not right to guess what people are thinking. And if you talk and share your thoughts, it makes life so much easier. So communication, commitment, we've talked about a lot. And consideration is one that I just wanted to spend a half a minute on. Consideration, where intimacy is concerned, is about considering how your actions affect your partner and considering how, what's happening in their life in relation to what you want to do or what you're thinking. So it's stopping and taking stock and being a little less selfish and stopping and thinking, if I do this or if I demand that, what is the effect going to be on my partner, and how will my relationship thrive and grow as a result of that? Or will my choice to do this damage in some way that relationship? If you think of your relationship as a cord that joins you, it's really not that hard to break it. And yes, we can put it back together again, but the more times you break it, you know, the more difficult it is. So I think communication, consideration, and commitment are the three things that, you know, put together will really strengthen intimacy in all areas, emotional intimacy, mental intimacy, spiritual intimacy, financial intimacy, Stephen's talked about, and recreational intimacy. You know, what about the things your partner loves to do? Like, I remember when Dave and I were dating, Dave was very interested in this program. I don't know what it was called. It was something about cars. And I didn't know anything about cars. But I used to make it home early on that day to make sure I could watch this program about cars, because I knew then I could talk with him about it. I could inform myself about cars. So I learned quite a lot about cars, and it did help me to understand his interest. So you have to put yourself out a little bit and work at it.
Stephen, just before we go to start taking some of the questions, have you got some suggestions on developing intimacy?
Well, one of the things I think you must do is you must respect some reasonable boundaries that your partner requires of you. Because if you don't, and you walk on territory that they're not comfortable in, you will emasculate intimacy, because it just won't happen. They won't trust you, they'll feel intruded upon, they'll feel set upon. I understand, because I've been on this journey with Margaret, that I need to respect that she likes certain things certain ways. She likes her privacy, for example. And she likes quiet. And, you know, I see the same thing now emerging in our adult children, that some of them are like that, if you know what I mean. And we've got to respect our husband or our wife and what their preferences are, and be considerate of them and be tender towards them and communicate with them and allow them to express themselves, because I want Margaret to blossom. I want her to be magnificent. I want she to feel about herself that she's worthy and that she's valued and that she's important, and that what I do tells her that, and not that I think that she's a plunker, you know, and that she's no good, she, you know, she's not very sensible or she's waste money or anything like that. I absolutely trust her. And I know that it's just so important that this respect and this intentionality in nurturing the other person for who they are is part of our life, so that we can be who we were designed and intended by God to be. I mean, I came down to live in County Limerick in 1985. And about 1987, I began to feel for the first time in my life, and I was almost 30 years of age, that I could actually be myself. And part of the reason was that God had given me a few friends around me who cared about me and actually liked me for who I was, including my wife to be, Margaret, and actually being valued for who I was and allowed to be myself allowed me to flourish and prosper. And that is God's design and intent, that our relationships, particularly our key relationships, would be of such quality that we value one another to the extent that being unique as an individual and allowing that person to be the unique person they are and to flourish as that person makes that person have a fantastic life. They're designed to have a great life, and we, as their key relator, ought to help them on that journey. And I want to, as best I can, to help Margaret on that journey to make her life as worthwhile and meaningful by valuing and loving her as best I can.
And Stephen would be quick to admit that he doesn't always get it right, but I'm sure that Margaret still thinks he's an angel. This is family.ie. We do need to take another time out now, but there's much more still to come. By the way, we invite you to send a comment by text. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886. And if you have thoughts, stories, or questions about this series for which you need a reply, feel free to email us anytime. radio@family.ie. That's 086-251-6886 or radio@family.ie. Stay with us for the final segment of today's family.ie and more about how to make your marriage work. Welcome once again to family.ie. If you just tuned in, this is the second half of our series titled Marriage, How to Make It Work. These particular programmes were originally recorded before a live studio audience. We'll hear some questions from the crowd in just a few moments. But first, Heather and Stephen had some further suggestions for couples on developing intimacy and handling conflict.
One of my suggestions might be to remember forgiveness. And we have a great God that has forgiven us a great deal and constantly, every day, forgives us for our shortcomings. And we can be very unforgiving of our spouses when they do little things. You know, they didn't empty the dishwasher in time, or the kitchen wasn't cleared when I came down, or just very small, normal, everyday things. And we get irritated by these things. If we can stop and check ourselves and remember forgiveness, and as much as we have been forgiven, if we can just offer forgiveness to our spouses when they disappoint us, let us down, or don't come up with the goods, whatever it might be, I think that really helps, because you're not harbouring all the hurts of last week for a whole week and then bringing it out into the latest argument on next week. Oh, well, last week you did this, this and this. If you can just let things go. And my mother, I remember, always used to say, never let the sun go down on your wrath, straight from the scripture. And if you can really practice that, that before you go to sleep at night, even if your wife turns around and says we'd all be better off, if you can actually get over that and ensure that there's forgiveness and one openness before you go to sleep, I think that's a great code for developing intimacy.
Can I just also say, Anna, that you know that well, I haven't stressed this because I've been talking about the positive. Conflict is guaranteed. You know, you are going to have conflict. It's learning to handle it and to talk and to find space away from the emotions of the conflict that is vital. Because when you start talking, you begin to get to know each other and understand each other. And there have been one or two really big issues in our world, particularly in the last 10 years, where Margaret and I have walked the roads at night and talked. And there's been a few times when I've been talking out loud, so angry about situations or whatever, that Margaret would say, shh, because we live in a nice, quiet country road, so you could be a quarter of a mile away and probably hear me talking and wondering, what? There he is out going on again. What? I wonder what's going on there. You know, so if somebody was sitting outside or out, whatever, they'd hear me giving out yards about a particular situation from time to time. Because, you know, there is going to be conflict and we will have problems, but it's handling those problems well is vital. It's vital to a good marriage, and we must find ways that we can vent and air those things. And it's not always to tell your husband or a wife about them. Maybe you need a brother or sister, somebody that you can let off steam with, and then deal with the issue less emotionally, if you like, in the face-to-face situation.
We're going to have 10 minutes of questions, so if you do have any questions. Stephen, I suppose the first question here is, isn't love a choice, no matter who you are married to?
Yes.
That's a great question, Anna. That's a great question. Yes, love is a choice. And you can wake up every morning and make a choice to love your husband or your wife, even in the face of difficulties. But I have to say that as a human being, it's very hard to do that on your own if things are really difficult. So I would say if you're in a difficult situation and you're finding that love, to be able to do that in the morning is difficult. I would call on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, help me today to love this man or this woman that I have committed my life to. Help me today to do some small thing that will demonstrate that love. And my sister talks about extravagant love. And, you know, the only way we can really show people the love of God is if we demonstrate that in day-to-day life. And if there's difficulties, one way to win people back is with what she would call extravagant love. Going the extra mile, baking the cake you know he loves, bringing home the flowers you know she likes, even if everything is not perfect. It's an action. Love is an action. It's not a passive thing. It's not going to drop into you out of the sky. Yeah, it's a choice, and sometimes it's a hard choice. But if we've made a commitment to spend our lives with someone, then we have to act on that. Yeah, it's a great question.
Just something I want to ask you, following on from that, what would you say to somebody who is doing that every day, but it's not coming back the other way? Would you recommend stick with it?
Well, I would always recommend stick with it, because I believe that's God's plan. It's a covenant relationship. It's not a simple thing that you just go into and 10 years down the line say, oh, this isn't working very well, I'm getting out. We made a covenant with somebody to live for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. So I would always say stick with it. I have to say again and again, though, that sticking with it on your own is really hard. We need God's help, and we really need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives to help us to stick with it. There isn't any way of doing it on your own, in my opinion. Stephen, would you agree?
I'd agree. That's the best way, Heather. I mean, the thing is that probably a very tangible expression of our love for our husband or wife, if we're not getting on with each other, is to say sorry. And that can be a difficult journey to make to that point. But once it's communicated earnestly, I think in most cases that's well received, and you can find your way back from there, as opposed to letting things become more calloused and hardened and so on, and you no longer have a soft heart towards one another, and therefore the relationship is no longer fertile and intimate. So, you know, it is important that we repair the breaches, if there have been breaches. But love is a choice, as the questioner asked.
Yeah.
Can I just come in? I think there are two instances where I would say we have to really stop and take stock. And one is where there's constant infidelity. I think that is a very difficult situation for people to live in, and where there's violence. And I think if there's violence in a relationship or continual infidelity, anyone can make a mistake, but continual infidelity or violence, I think that those would be my limits, where I would say you have to really take some help and find out if really sticking with it is what you need to do.
Sure, and that comes back to not respecting appropriate boundaries and so on. I mean, that's totally inappropriate behaviour and shouldn't happen.
You're listening to Family.ie and the second half of our series called Marriage, How to Make It Work. Obviously, Stephen and Heather are not afraid to tackle the tough questions. It's time for our final break right now, but when we return, we'll hear more of the questions from the studio audience. What would they say to a couple who is separated? And what does it mean to fight fair? Find out in just a moment. And don't forget that family.ie has a wealth of sound, evidence-based material to help every member of your family thrive. Among the books and articles, part of what you'll find is free audio downloads, specifically for couples. You'll find both episodes in this series, along with our five-part series called Hedges, Loving Your Marriage Enough to Protect It, and our five-part series titled TNT for Dynamite Relationships, among others. Listen and download those programs and others absolutely free. Again, that's www.family.ie. Keep it tuned right here for more of the special live Marriage, How to Make It Work on today's edition of family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie and the second half of our series called Marriage, How to Make It Work. Now, more of the questions from the studio audience with Stephen, Heather and Anna.
Okay, we have another question and it asks, what would you say to a couple that is separated?
There isn't a right answer to that question. If I was meeting the couple, I would like to meet them and get an understanding of where they're coming from. Because Rob Parsons in the 21st Century Marriage tells a story of a couple who had been married, I think, 30 years. Would that be about right, Mervyn? And they're on the steps of the court to go in for the divorce. And the husband says to his wife, do we really need to do this? And she says to him, if you would only stop criticizing me in front of other people, I would consider, working on with the marriage. Marriages can be retrieved if the couple have separated. That doesn't mean that the marriage is over. I mean, our story as Christians is one of redemption and restoration from the impossible. And God is at work when we submit our world to him to help us to try and find resolutions to things that are just not resolvable amongst ourselves. And if we come to the Lord, he can help us to overcome those things. And if we don't know the Lord, we can come to the Lord to know him and that he can help us in our time of distress and need. Because he's there for us. He's always present and always there, available and willing to help us if we're willing to go to him. And things are retrievable. You know, the extreme that Heather's mentioned of infidelity repeatedly and violence and so on are very difficult issues. And if there's no repentance, then that's not a safe place for the wife. But, I mean, most situations are retrievable, but they need work and help, usually.
That's what I was going to say. I would say to this couple, you need some help. For a start, if you're abusing each other or in an abusive, violent or difficult or constantly arguing situation, you're probably better off to be separated for the moment. But use that time. Use that time fruitfully. Make a choice in your mind. Do you actually want to make this marriage work? Or have you actually given up? And one way or the other, I would encourage that couple to seek some counselling together. For the money you put into it, you'll reap dividends. It's well worth it. And at the end of a series of counselling, get a good biblical Christian counsellor that can really help you to see the issues. And at the end of that time, you make an investment. At the end of that time, you will know then whether or not your marriage really is over and you can't make it together. Or you may have been able to resolve some of the issues that you thought were insurmountable. But I would just encourage, if a couple is separated, it's for a good reason. Nobody really wants to throw their marriage away just over a simple issue. Usually it's a very good reason, and that couple needs some help, needs to work on that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another question. I've heard about the idea of fighting fair when having an argument with your spouse. Can you explain this, Heather?
Well, I think Stephen's probably got much more experience of fighting fair than I have. Fighting fair, fighting is, nobody wants to fight really, but sadly we do. Fighting fair to me sort of means not dragging up everything that's happened for the last 32 years, because actually that would be a terrible fight. Just dealing with the situation you're in at that time, not bringing the whole of the rest of the world into it, not involving everybody else in it. And at some stage, just shutting up your mouth and listening to the other person. Because when we're going at it so hard, we can't hear what anyone else is trying to explain to us. So I suppose fighting fair for me personally would be just closing this mouth and saying a little bit less and listening to my husband's point of view, and not bringing up everything from the past. Have you got more to add?
I think you've got to respect each other, and you therefore, in order to fight fair, you've got to find sufficient ground on which to fight, because some things are worth fighting over. You know, that they're worth hashing out the fact that your perspective and your views on something are A and mine are B. Neither of them are desperately wrong. They might neither be right either, but together you find a solution. You will find that while you differ, if you're in a relationship that allows space for you to hash out difference and to resolve difference well, you'll find you're much better at addressing issues as opposed to pretending they're not there and hoping they'll go away. Couples who fail to deal with real issues tend to store up trouble for themselves, even if the only price they pay is a lack of intimacy. You know, we have many Irish stories of, you know, the mother who stayed around for the sake of the children till the children were grown up, and then they want to leave their husband because that relationship died 10, 15 years ago. And that's not what God designed for us. And so we've got to find ways in which we can resolve issues well. And that's finding space and time. And space and time are absolutely critical issues in all relationships. And therefore, as we'll talk in the second session about this issue with raising our kids, it's also true in relation to a marriage. And Nikki and Scylla Lee in their marriage course, the Alpha Marriage course, which is an excellent course, Margaret and I did it last year, talk about fighting well and fighting clean. And you know that one of the rules they have is if there is an issue, they assign time to come and address the issue. And whoever has the hanky does the talking. So the other person has to listen. And that would be a good rule, if you like, if you could apply that in a situation where there is a fractious and emotional set of feelings around a particular issue. Because it forces you to listen to the other person. And if you genuinely love and respect the person, you will gradually get it.
What you're saying is find what works for you, whether it is something like that, but find as a couple what works for you and what's comfortable and safe.
And you find a setting that works for you.
Yeah.
So for us, it's to go for a walk. We have a nice quiet road that we live on, and we can walk a half a mile down the road, and there's only one or two houses on that road. So even if we were shouting, we're not going to disturb too many neighbours.
You've been listening to Family.ie, and this has been the second half of Marriage, How to Make It Work, originally recorded live before a studio audience. Like I mentioned last time, if you'd like to help us plan an event like this in your area, please do let us know. Simply email us anytime, radio@family.ie. We'd love to help reach the individuals and families in your community with quality advice on a load of topics pertaining to relationships, marriage and parenting, including our How to Drug-Proof Your Kids training program. So if there's any way you think we can help, feel free to email us, radio@family.ie. That's radio@family.ie. And please don't forget that we value your feedback anytime. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886. That's 086-251-6886. I'm Ronan Johnston, and we hope you'll tune in again next time. Until then, with thanks to Anna Daly, and on behalf of our own Stephen Carty and Heather Walsh, Slán Tamil. Thank you for listening to Family.ie. Families strengthening families.